Sides from the coach's last presser.
Don't know what I said, but I will say this. For all those lip readers out there, there's more than one word in the English language that starts with F.
Bite Me with Coach Harbaugh.
All three phases, even though all three phases could have done some things better, certainly, and we'll talk about those. All three phases came through, and they had to in a big way. And our defense had six straight stops, you know, when our offense scored six straight touchdowns at one point in the game. That's six straight scoring drives. That's pretty darn impressive. So right there, I think, kind of tells a story. But we're happy. We give glory and honor where it's given to God, and we humbly try to go forward and see if we can get better. We got a big game next week against Cleveland, division game at their place, and we got to start getting ready for that on a short week.
The Baltimore Ravens enjoyed a 41-31 win last night over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to improve the 5-2 on the year. That's five straight for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry both with sensational games. On the defensive side of the football, Roquan Smith with an outstanding game as well. John Harbaugh continued to speak to the media. And one thing happened that they did not like, and they are not certain about the future concerning this, and that's Marlon Humphrey.
We'll know more tomorrow. He's walking around in there, I can tell you that. So he's in good spirits. But I don't know, if it's too serious.
Mike Preston looked like he banged his knee a little bit on that second interception of Baker Mayfield. We didn't see him again for the rest of the game.
And you go back and you look at his recent history. He's had some injuries and missed some extensive time. And you play so many years in this league, and the injuries start to mount up. And you wonder, can he come back? Can he step back in soon? Or is he going to miss time? And then if you miss the time, and you saw it last year with him, and he would get beat by speed guys. And it was great matchups. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I think, was Pickens who caught that pass in Pittsburgh. Just blew right by him. So it takes you time to get back into shape. So this could take some time. Could be out for a while.
It could be out. How would that affect and impact this team, in your opinion, Ed?
Big loss to me. I mean, pieces like that are hard to find. I just, and I think they're struggling enough in that position. So I really think it'd be a big loss if it's an extended period of time.
John Harbaugh talked about the greatness of his running back, Derrick Henry.
I mean, I think we've had a confident team. I mean, it's good to go out there. You're talking about offensively and scoring points. I mean, that's certainly, real confidence is gained by doing it. So I think it's good. But our guys don't really think that way. I think our guys think about the things that they didn't do well. I can tell you, Derrick, he's on the sideline. I'm trying to congratulate him on the long run up the left sideline that they got him at the 11, and he's mad that they got him at the 11. And I appreciate that. To me, that's what greatness looks like. So we just got to get locked in for next week.
I just love that.
What?
Henry's attitude. You say you go over 81 yards and the coach comes over to give you, attaboy. He's just pissed they got caught.
Yeah. And the question was asked about Lamar, but he couldn't help but talk about Derrick. And I don't blame him. I mean, you got a 30-year-old running back. And why does it matter? Someone said, why do you guys keep saying he's 30? Because you guys kept saying it before when they first signed him. Yeah. That's why we're saying it. We're saying it now because that's all we heard when they signed him. Why do you sign a 30-year-old running back? This is why.
This is what I was saying when they did it. Because he's different. He's different. He had like 150 yards in his last game last year.
Do you want to be a cornerback seeing a fresh Derrick Henry coming around the corner on that pitch? And they do run it to the left. You know where they're going, and they're running it behind Stanley. And, Ricard is the blocking back, and that's another 305 pounds. And they're coming around that corner.
Yeah.
That's pretty imposing. Yeah. And he's.
I got news for you, Mike.
And you're 188 pounds.
I don't want to face him when he's tired. You know why?
That's when
he's fresh. There's a chance he may just run past me. When he's tired, he's not looking to run past me. He's looking to do damage. I don't want to face him at all.
And you know what happened on that run was the outside linebacker, the defensive end, he did force it inside.
Yeah.
I mean, he came up very hard and very fast, but the rest of them guys were like, nah, we don't want that. We don't want to face that because his shoulder pads are square.
Yeah.
And he's still starting to run downhill.
He starts to run behind those pads.
Yeah,
it's
man,
over with, man.
We don't want none of that.
Let's go to Cliff in White Marsh. What's up, Clifford?
Hey guys, I always enjoy the day after a Raven game, and Mike, I love the the grades, I'm usually right there with you. But this time here, Lamar Jackson, not just the running and the throwing, I'm giving him an A+. And the reason I am, no matter what package that the Ravens seem to bring in there, personnel package, whatever the package is, whatever they're trying to do, this guy is playing downhill. He's got total control of the offense. He's right on point. The ball's coming out. He knows what he's doing. He's decisive. That look with that quarterback rating, Mike, that looked like an A+ to me.
Hey, Cliff, as a student of this university, I'm signing up in your class, not Mike's. I'm done. I'm going to Cliff's class.
Let me explain this to you one more time. Okay. If you played in college, do you know how hard it is to get an A+? It is very, very hard. I mean, because you got to take into consideration, and I don't know this. I'm just saying it's very hard to get an A+ because if you miss this call, you miss that call, whatever, you get graded down. So usually if you get 95 to 90, yeah, that's a very good game, but you still get an A-, A+, that means you made no mistakes. You played a perfect game. No one ever plays a perfect game, ever.
And Mike, you're right. It is hard to get A+. It's just almost impossible. But Cliff is giving them out, so I'm taking his class.
Well, Cliff needs to do his own report card.
410-583-1057. And speaking of Mike Preston's report card, we'll have it at 9:30. But on the other side, we'll go around the NFL with our MVPs up next on The Fan.
Around the NFL.
We'll go around the National Football League, picking out MVPs. Let's start off with you, Edward.
Well, you know me. I'm sure you'll be shocked.
Running backs.
Yep. I'm going to go with Najee Harris. Again, another, we were talking earlier about Alabama running backs. He can play, man. He can play. 21 carries, 102 yards, a touchdown, and that win over the Jets. He's looked really good, and the Steelers are getting it done that way with a great defense and a running game. And for my other one, I'm going to go with another Alabama running back. I'm going with Jahmyr Gibbs of the Detroit Lions. He's had he just looks so good on the base. Stats aside, his stats are great. I mean, he went for 116 yards and 15 carries, 2 touchdowns, but more than that, it was an eye test.
Off the right, here's Gibbs. Good run, best run, good move. There he goes, needs a block. He's in. Jahmyr Gibbs answers back for Detroit, and they're on the board.
That was one of his two, and he's just having a great year. And they had a good running back in Montgomery, but Gibbs is just looking terrific.
Thank you very much, my friend. Mike Preston, who do you have?
One is Patrick Mahomes, and he's not having a great year, and he's not piling up all of his stats. I mean, he was 16 of 37, 454 yards against the 49ers, but the guy just makes plays, and he wins games. They're 6-0. He's down two receivers, his two top receivers, his top running back. To do what he's done is pretty impressive. So he's the guy. And then the other one is Detroit Lions quarterback Jared Goff, 23 of 25, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, and they beat Minnesota 31-29 and are tied for first place in that division. Keep an eye on this guy. He's better than a lot of people think.
Oh, he definitely is. I like him. I like the story. I like the fact that he left McVay and is sticking it to them right now as a very good quarterback. I love that. Now, I don't have anything against Sean McVay. I just think he was the scapegoat.
I'll never forget the line that was really insulting. He said when they asked him about Goff, he said, "Yeah, he's our quarterback for now." At a press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who does that, man?
Yeah. You don't make those statements, no. Man.
Nope. My MVP, I'm going to go with Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen. He was 21 of 33 for 323, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rating of 116.1, and a 34-10 win over the Tennessee Titans. To me, there are only three people that you can even talk about being the MVP. One is not really legit because of his position. Derrick Henry is that guy. The other two, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. To me, that's the MVP race right now.
Yeah.
There's nobody else really in this thing. He is just having a sensational year, and he is they go as he goes, like most franchise quarterbacks would be. But that's the case with Jared Goff. And the next one is going to be, I'm going to, like you do, Ed, I'm going to go with a running back. Saquon Barkley had 17 carries for 176 yards and a touchdown as his team, new team, Philadelphia Eagles, beats up on his old team, New York Giants, 28-3. Now, he had a chance to break a record, and the game was out of hand. And his coach asked him if he wanted to go back in to break that record. And to me, this is Saquon Barkley. This is his response to that.
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, good.
You sure?
I promise.
I'll listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
It's all good. I'd rather see the young boys eat.
You hear that? Sirianni almost like he was trying to talk him into doing it, get those 13 yards. He was like, no, I'm good. And I said, I want you to do it if you want to do it. No, I'd rather see them eat, Ed.
I know. And it's just, let me tell you, this was.
That gives you goosebumps, man.
It does.
Because that's sincere.
It was. And it's funny you mentioned, you know, Saquon and big day yet. It seems like they're having a huge return of the running game lately, certainly this weekend. James Conner, Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Saquon Barkley, Gibbs, Mixon, Robinson, Bigsby, all had 100-yard-plus games. That's a lot of running backs to go over 100 yards.
So where are these defenses at, Ed?
Running after these guys. Trying to chase these guys down.
Need to work on some more tackling in practice these days instead of outlawing it.
I don't think the league has been void of 100-yard rushes. I think the league has been proven that they have multiple people get 100 yards.
I mean, these are older guys who are still playing, guys coming off injuries and playing well. Mm-hmm. And
Saquon looked good. I mean, Jeremy and I was talking about this on Friday. He was saying how he thought this would be the Giants' chance to really get at Saquon. That's no, this is Saquon's chance to get at the Giants.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about the Giants. Saquon has the better football team. I hope the Eagles learn this much, though. You can't go Jalen Hurts heavy and try to get back to the Super Bowl. I like Jalen Hurts. I do. I think Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. I do. But Jalen Hurts is not in the upper echelon of some of these quarterbacks. I think he's a Philadelphia Eagles franchise quarterback. I don't think he's an NFL franchise quarterback. I mean, I think there's certain teams that he fits with. The Eagles are one of those teams. He's not one of those Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen types that could fit any team, Mike.
Correct.
I don't think he's that guy.
No.
So being that guy, you can't go Jalen Hurts heavy and think Jalen Hurts is going to carry you to the promised land. He's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have the 1-2 punch of he and Saquon. Now, if Saquon continues to tear it up, there'll be times where you can get 250, 270 out of Jalen Hurts. But if you're going into every game thinking you can get 250 to 270 out of him, and that's your formula for winning, then you're hustling backwards, man. He's not that cat. I like him. He's just not that cat.
Back to the Giants for a second, since you're talking about that game. Now, Daboll wins Coach of the Year 2 years ago. You think he's gone the end of this year?
If they do, then that's the epitome of self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're seeing with the Giants right now is not Brian Daboll. You decided to sign Daniel Jones to a long-term deal, franchise Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley's now playing for the divisional foe, and you have Daniel Jones. I'm saying there have been many moves like that by the Giants. I think it's more of a front office problem than it is a Brian Daboll problem. To answer your question, probably so. He'll probably be gone. But I don't think this is him, though.
I don't either. I mean, he didn't forget to coach in 2 years.
Yeah. Anyway, final thoughts at 9:45, but on the other side, the professor is here, and maybe Cliff will call back and browbeat him about that A-plus that he didn't give Lamar Jackson again. Monday Morning Quarterback on the Fan.
Preston's Report Card.
Brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus.
The aftermath of an accident can feel like you're getting wrecked again. Don't get wrecked twice. For the best advice, call Rice Mirtha Pesaurus at 410 Rice Law.
Preston's Report Card.
Mike Preston gave his grades out a little bit earlier on the show. In fact, at 7:30, you can go back on the Odyssey app and hear that in its entirety. You can also go to Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, to actually see the grades now. Mike, last night the Baltimore Ravens trailed 10-0 early in this football game before going out and getting a huge lead against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was, your opinion, the issue beginning at the beginning of the game, trailing 10-0?
One, blitzing, and I thought they stepped out. Basically, when you're playing and you're kind of just situated in your pass protection, you don't want to step out if they're blitzing up the middle. It's what we used to call a tight cup, and you go all the way around. And Rosengarten kept stepping out. The right tackle for Lele, he kind of stepped out, and they left the opening in the middle, and that's what they kind of figured out. Is like, no, we don't need to step out. We just need to just stay in a tight cup, and that's what they did. And then once they got that figured out, they were back to the game plan, and they stayed with the game plan. They didn't panic, unlike they did a year ago in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City. They stayed within the scheme of the offense, run the ball, pass the ball, and they were balanced up.
And that was the key, in my opinion, them sticking to the game plan. I think, and we've seen in years past, when they trail big, they start doing something else that questioning their own game plan, so to speak.
You know, yes. You want to hear something really funny and odd? When I was flying back from Tampa this week, the bartenders asked me that question. They were not from Baltimore.
Right.
They were from, one was from a Steeler fan, and the other kid was from like Tennessee. They were asking me why the Ravens stopped, abandoned what's working for. I swear to you, fans from other cities noticed this. Yes, it's been a real sticking point here.
Now, you saw Derrick Henry sitting for extended time in the second quarter, and then he finished only with 15 carries. He is the ultimate closer. That's got to be a dangerous situation for them to be able to sit a weapon like that so long and still build a big lead like that.
He closed out the game. I mean, and you know what's coming. We've seen it before. You know, like, hey, let's load up. Let's go tight formations. Let's play power football. And let's just give him Derrick Henry. And you don't want to see that guy 6'4", 253 pounds or whatever he is turning the corner. You don't want to see that, especially late in the game. I mean, you catch him early, okay, that's fine. But late, and he's still running, and he's only had 14 carries or 12 carries or whatever. I don't want to see that. I don't. And that's a great weapon.
Now, the offensive line, I thought, played very good last night. But my assessment of them guys, they seem to be better run blockers. And the better the run game is, the better pass protectors they are, because they're keeping the defense off balance.
Yep.
When you know they're going to pass block, yeah, they're not very good.
And Troy Aikman mentioned that. He goes, this team has a habit of when they start trailing, they get out of their offense. I remember him talking about that. I'm like, that's the Ravens. I don't want to see that. I want them to stick with their offense. They are most successful when they're running the football, but then they got the play-action game working. And then you got the RPOs going outside. That's a great thing to have, and that's what they've done. They've stuck with what has gotten them this far.
Right. And I think that's really the key, because just keep the defense off balance.
It is the key to me. I've never, ever understood why they would do that. And we could all point to different games throughout the recent history where they've done this, and to the frustration of fans, and I'm one of them. Just why would you do that? Why would you do that? To me, one of the things I've always learned through, you know, playing youth sports in high school and college, make them stop you. Just do it until they stop you.
Yeah.
Like, if it's working, why would you go away from it? But it happens in the NFL. Look at the Super Bowl with the – you got what's Marshawn Lynch. You have Marshawn Lynch on the goal line. He's been killing it.
Oh, my. Yeah, that was terrible.
Why would you throw the ball? It's like it cost you a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like people make dumb decisions like that.
Your thoughts on the coaching staff overall, Mike, in this football game?
I thought Todd Monken did a great job. I think he's kind of in that zone with this offense. You know, they're in sync. They have a rhythm. Some of the stuff he was calling last night was very good. I mean, clearing out routes, the screen pass that he called, and he scored on that in the second quarter. Way ahead of a lot of teams right now offensively. I think he's done a nice job, and that's why they're number one in total offense. Defensively, they got some issues as far as coverages. I mean, like little stuff, like covering the running back out of the backfield. Why are they so open? Why are they so free? You're trying to play a zone. Well, okay. Are you clear about the zones and who's going where? And you got to take two, three steps one way or the other because that's your man. But then you ease up and you pass him on. They don't seem to do that. They just don't have the scheme is not there. Special team wise, I mean, they had two nice returns on kickoff returns last night, and they gave them good field position. And you want that. I mean, I think they had one like 37 yards and one of 35 yards. That's the way you come out. And I don't know why Tampa Bay kept kicking short to him. Once you've failed twice, why do you keep kicking short? I don't get that. you know, we don't need to ask questions
maybe
about
maybe only allowed two long kicks in the second half. So I have some of these dumb rules. I don't know.
<It's> like, yeah. You can't kick him in the end zone after
more than
two
twice.
Kicks.
Yeah.
But coaching, I thought they got a B. Special teams, I gave them a B+. But they're good. That's a good football team, except for can't give up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
What did they – again, you and I keep saying, Ed, you agree that schematically something's wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dean Pease is that guy that brings it in because I never really liked his defense as much either. But something has to give. Something has to change.
Yeah.
Because you can't, as you guys both pointed out, continue to give up 21 points in the quarter, especially the fourth quarter when you're trying to close out a ball game.
No, you can't. I mean, you can't. You just cannot. I mean, they give up 38 points to the Bengals, 31 to the Buccaneers. It's too much. It's just too much. You can't continue to do this. So, especially late in the game, because that's when that's what happened against the Raiders. You know, they had the 10-point lead, and they just blew it. Can't have that happen, man. And so something has to give, and I agree with you about schematics, because they look confused. And what happens is when you're not prepared properly, you play slower. It takes you a set. You lose a step because you're not just reacting. You know exactly when you're prepared. You know exactly where you're going to be, what your assignment is. When you're not sure and you're looking at each other, you're going to get torched.
And that's one of the worst things you see is they have that blank look on their face, like you're supposed to be here. No, you were supposed to be here, and they can't decide.
Yep, and you play slow.
Yep.
Lack of confidence, lack of short. You don't know. I'm not sure that I'm going to do this. And next thing you're right. You're always a beat behind. Ravens do win 41-31 now, 5-2 on the year again. If you want to hear Mike Preston's report card segment, go to Odyssey. Go to the Odyssey app at 7:30. He went position by position. Also, go to BaltimoreSun.com and read it online. Just to give you a recap, quarterback Lamar Jackson. He got an A, did not get an A+. Running backs, an A. Offensive line, a B+. Receivers, an A-. D-line, a C. He gave the linebackers a B-. Secondary, a C. Special teams, a B+. And coaching, a B. So, what, Mike, did you learn about this football team from week 7?
The long ball was a factor. At least it was. To Rashad Bateman, that was a perfect pass, and you got to have that because teams are going to crowd the line of scrimmage, and they're going to play some good teams, all right, with good defensive lines, and I still believe Kansas City is still going to be there somewhere. They're going to have to beat them, but they're doing the things that they need to do, and they're finding these weapons, and they haven't had weapons like this before. I mean, you got two good tight ends, you got Bateman playing well on the outside. You got Derrick Henry in the backfield. I mean, as long as the offensive line gets better, this offense will work. Are they there yet? No, but the pass protection is better. And that's a major key going into the postseason. And I always talk about the postseason because that's where you win.
That's what it's about.
I mean, that's what it's about.
Well, don't we all agree for this team that's all that matters right now? What they do in the postseason?
Yeah.
Because getting there is not even a question. It's what you do when you get there.
Yeah.
Listen, their goal is Super Bowl. It can't even begin to the postseason anymore. Right. They've been to the postseason over and over. You went to the championship game last year and blew that. So, no, you got to go to the big show.
Yeah. And the Baltimore Ravens, one step closer to that. going 5-2 with a 41-31 win last night over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Final thoughts and a look ahead at Week 8 up next as we wrap it up right here on The Fan.
Final thoughts.
Ravens win 41-31 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson career has 20 touchdown passes and no interceptions on Monday Night Football. Mike Preston, final thoughts on last night's performance.
Offensively, they're good. They might be the best team in the NFL. I don't know, but they're scoring at a high clip, and they're in sync. They found a rhythm. Defensively, they're still in search of coverages as far as running backs coming out of the backfield, as far as secondary. They got some issues, and we'll see what happens in the upcoming weeks, but it's not good. It's not promising. That's for sure.
No doubt about that. Ed Norris.
I kind of agree with Mike. I think this is the best team in the NFL right now. They can score. They score more than anybody. They have the best offense in football right now. If you're a fan of Greenies, I agree with him. He said, if Derrick Henry's healthy, nobody beats the Ravens this year. ESPN, Lamar Jackson, MVP again. Is triple threat Lamar as Ravens lobbying for MVP. It's just, you know, are they the best team in football? This is all you see now. This is all you see on all these different, you know, sports websites. They're talking about the Ravens, and I think they are. They definitely have to tighten up that defense, though. And I really do believe it's a coaching issue because it's the same personnel. There's very little change to that defense, except they look lost. And when you look lost, you're unsure of yourself. You play a little slower, and that's when you get burned.
Are they the best team in the league right now? Yes. Keywords right now. This is a week-to-week league. I want you guys to think about something. They got off on a 10-0 deficit. Let's say the game continues to trend that way. And we're sitting here today with the 4-3 Baltimore Ravens. We're not asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a week-to-week league, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a cliche. It's true. The NFL is week-to-week. Who's the best team in the league right now? Buffalo Bills are 5-2, but no one's going to call them that because they got destroyed by the Baltimore Ravens here. Pittsburgh Steelers are 5-2, but nobody's going to say that because they're just not sexy enough. Houston Texans are 5-2, but nobody's going to say that because they don't have a playoff pedigree yet. Even though the Baltimore Ravens have fallen short, they've made it to the AFC Championship game, and we know that narrative. The Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated, but no one is going to claim that they're the best team right now because, again, they're doing it with defense and not with Pat Mahomes. It's a week-to-week league. So my answer is yes, right now the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the National Football League, but to be continued.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
It's where you finish.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's all about, and you said that earlier. They got to go to the show. That's the goal, and that's always talked about. And they had their shot last year, and they did have the best team in the NFL a season ago.
Jeremy Conoff says the best Ravens team that he ever saw. And this franchise has 2 Super Bowls. Is this the best Ravens team I've seen?
Yeah, but you got to get hot at the right time. In 2000, their defense was just crushing people.
It was
unreal. And they found Jamal Lewis, and that was done. And in 2012... Joe just got hot at the right time,
yep.
And Jacoby was just going around making plays with Ray, putting his hands on him and healing him. And
no weapon.
No weapon should be used against me.
No weapon. And that team won the Super Bowl almost with no weapons.
Yeah.
On offense, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had Ray Rice.
Yep.
You know, that's it. But you're right. They have to get hot at the right time. And I believe they can continue at this pace. But we know that they have to continue at this pace in January.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it? I have no doubt that they can. It's a question of will they do it.
Right.
Now, we don't have a Monday Night Football game tonight because last night was the Monday Night Football game with the Ravens. But looking here ahead at Week 8, and I had to double check. I'm like, Week 8? The hell? Yeah. Week 8? I mean, we would be at the halfway point in the 16-week season, but there's no halfway point. But you go, does halftime of the 9th game count as?
Tomorrow's the halfway point. I don't know.
Mike Preston, what game are you looking forward to this week?
Cowboys at 49ers.
Why is that?
Somebody's got to break out of this thing. I mean, the Cowboys are 3-3. 49ers are 3-4. the last two times these teams played, not each other, but the Cowboys were mugged by Detroit 47-9 on October the 13th. 49ers lost to Kansas City 28-18 Sunday. Somebody's going to break out. It's probably going to be the 49ers. The Cowboys just don't have a running back, or they don't have a running game. 49ers still have a running game. Brock Purdy's just got to step up and get it done, and hopefully to get the receivers back. But that's going to be a fun game to watch, because somebody's got to step up and take control here, one of these two teams.
Mike, the problem is not only do the 49ers have a running game, but the Cowboys can't stop one.
No, they can't.
That's the biggest issue. You may not have a running game, but the Cowboys might give you one. They'll give you one.
Yeah, you'll leave with one. That's for sure.
Jerry Jones, oh my gosh. It's no one's fault but yours, Jerry. It's all your fault.
He just said, I saw this quote on 105.3, that he doesn't think Derrick Henry would have had... It was something like, you can't say that Derrick Henry would have the same level of success he's having with the Ravens that he would here.
What if he had the same level of success that he had with the Titans? Would that be good
you
enough?
You take that, right?
Would that be good enough?
And then he also made fun of the host again, because the one host that he yelled at the other week wasn't there. And he's like, oh, was he scared of confrontation today?
Ooh. Oh, no, I think Jerry Jones is afraid of confrontation.
I understand his point, though, because their offensive line is not very good.
Isn't that also an indictment on him?
That is. It is true of him and the general manager, because yes. These are the guys you drafted. But the thing you can talk about the Raven receivers is they will block now. Even Likely has gone out and blocked people.
Definitely has. Yeah.
So you see the improvement there. I'm not sure about the Cowboys and their scheme.
Game that you're looking forward to this week, Ed Norris?
Falcons, Buccaneers. I mean, obviously, this is for the division.
It's the money game.
It's the money game, yes.
Isn't it right, Mike?
Yeah.
This is the one. I mean, the Buccaneers have a good football team. So do the Falcons. They're both 4-3. We'll see how the Bucs look without, you know, I mean, now Evans and Godwin hurt. I don't know what's going to happen to them. They lost to the Falcons in overtime in week 5 when they played last, and that's the game Cousins made every dime he ever made. He got it, earned it. He threw over 509 yards in that game. They won 36-30. But this time the Buccaneers catch him at home. And we shall see, but I'm definitely going to be watching that game. That's a good one. It's about time that division's competitive.
And speaking of catching them at home, mm-hmm. I don't know if you realize this. Sunday is October the 27th. Mm-hmm. So on October the 27th, the Bucs will be playing their fifth home game already.
Wow.
That means that's not good going down the stretch.
No, I'll be on the road a lot.
I'm looking at this right here. They're 2-2 on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, at home, I should say. They're 2-2 at home. And that means that game number 5.
Are they home on December 8th? You have the schedule in front of you there?
I can look it up. I can look it up. No problem.
I thought you had it in front of you.
No, right here. It's not. December 8th, they are home against the Raiders.
Ravens bye. Chance to go to a game.
You going
to
see that one?
Probably.
Now, is the rule into effect? Are we off to?
What?
For the bye.
Yes.
But we are?
We're taking off, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I ain't going to I'm not going to see the Bucks. I might go to Tampa.
You'll be in Tampa,
but yeah. I don't think I'm going to see the Bucks. The game that I'm looking forward to now, Joe. You said they're hopeful that Jaden Daniels is going to play.
That was the quote from Dan Quinn.
Oh, that was my quote. I'm hopeful that he'll play. The game that I'm looking forward to is 4:25. The Rookies, the Bears versus the Commanders. The two sensational rookie quarterbacks, Williams and Daniels, getting it on in Landover, Maryland, Northwest Stadium. This is going to be a heck of a game. Chicago, however, is favored by 3. So I'm thinking maybe Vegas is probably thinking that Daniels isn't going to play.
They might, because oddly the Bucs are home in the game. I just talked about it, and they're 2.5-point underdogs to the Falcons. So I wonder if it's injuries.
I'm just going to tell you, all the injuries the Bucs had.
Yeah.
I'm only looking forward to this game if Jaden Daniels plays. If not, I don't care. I don't really care. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm not a Commanders fan for sure, but I am a fan collectively of Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I was fans of theirs in college. I've been waiting for this. And we got a chance to see this happen in year number 1. So I can't wait. game that I'm looking forward to. Vinny and Haney up next. They will continue to tell you all about the Ravens' 41-31 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Preston, thank you very much. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All righty. Thank you.
Ed Norris, and I will see you tomorrow on a hump day Wednesday.
Yep.
Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.
Monday morning quarterback.